lies, but one of his missions to the world, as you see there, is to reprove. He reproves, which is another word for convict. And so that'll be our focus today, is what to do when we are convicted. Amen. But let's pray first. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege of assembling here and studying your word together. Lord, we want these studies to be practical and helpful things, Lord, that we can put into practice immediately by obeying your word. I pray that we would learn today things that would help us to grow and to become more like our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Howard, if you'd read that for us. The projector's having some issues, so Roy keeps having to turn off the screensaver, which has some lovely Chinese music attached to it.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of the salvation.
So God makes it very clear that when it comes to this matter of being convicted, how soon does he want us to do something about it? Based on this verse, and there will be others. Does he want us to wait? Or does he want us to deal with it now? Anybody? It's obvious, right? Behold, now. Amen? So specifically, he's talking there about salvation. The person is being convicted about their need for Jesus Christ to be rescued from their sin in hell. They need to get saved right now. Don't put it off. You don't know. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Amen? Get saved now. But even for us as Christians, after we're saved, we're going to heaven, when conviction comes into our heart, and it'll be the Holy Spirit that's bringing it through God's Word, God wants you to deal with it now. He doesn't want you to put it off. And that takes us to our first non-biblical choice, which is to delay. To say, I hear you, Lord. I hear what you're saying, that I need to make this change in my life. I need to be more like Jesus in this area, and I will do it later. That's the devil. Amen? That's the devil saying that. Delay is not God's will. God's will is we deal with it now. So the Holy Spirit has come, and one of the things he does is he reproves of sin. When he does, deal with it now. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The majority of the time when the Lord convicts us, he's going to do it through his powerful word. Amen? Because it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It does have the power to get into our hearts and convict us. But the worst thing we can do is say, I'll deal with it later. That's just a tactic that the devil uses, because what it means is we probably won't deal with it. We're just putting it off. And so we have some examples in the book of Acts that are quite revealing of people putting it off, getting things right with God. Let's look at those together. So Philip, if you could read for us Acts 26:28, and then Brent, if you could read after him Acts 24:25. A couple of examples of people delaying. We have no record of Agrippa ever getting saved. Agrippa could very well have been in hell for the past 2,000 years, and yet he got to hear the gospel from the Apostle Paul nonetheless and said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then, Brent, if you could read Acts 24:25.
And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.
We have no record of Felix ever doing that. Of Felix actually bringing Paul back in and saying, okay, I'm ready now for you to tell me more, or for you to finish what we started. Was he under conviction? He was under so much conviction that the Bible says that he trembled. That's conviction, isn't it? He trembled. Why? Because he was under conviction about temperance, righteousness, judgment to come. That means being judged by God, whether or not we go to heaven or hell. Amen. And he trembled. That was the time to say, Paul, help. What do I need to do? How do I avoid this judgment to come? But he didn't. He said, go thy way. I'll call for you later. Never the answer is to delay. Psalm 32, verse 3. Roy, if you could read that for us. Are you here? Oh, there you are.
When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long.
That's not the thing to do, is hold it in. Amen? When I kept silence, David said. And by the way, Psalm 32 is one of what they call the penitential psalms. There's five of them, where David is actually revealing his own repentance for sin. And in this particular one, he says, I tried to keep silent. And what happened? My bones waxed old through my roaring. In other words, I couldn't hold it in. I had to deal with it. And if you look later on, like in verse 5, he said, I confess my sins unto thee. My iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I finally confessed it, and then God forgave me. But I tried to keep it in. And so delay is the first non-biblical response to conviction. So if we are reading the scriptures, if we are in a church service of any kind, maybe a Sunday school class or a worship service, and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts through the Word of God, we don't say, I hear you, Lord. I know I need to deal with that. I'll deal with it later. No, we need to deal with it now. Amen? We're just asking for trouble, as we'll see in the morning message this morning. So any questions about the first non-biblical choice when we are convicted, and that is to delay? You know, like we say to kids when we're raising them, to delay is to disobey. Amen? But it's true for us as mature Christians as well. Don't delay. All right, any questions about delay? Then the second non-biblical choice is to resist. Now, this one's a bit more dangerous because this is where pride comes in. And this is not obviously what God wants when he is trying to speak to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, because we are his child. The last thing he wants is for us to resist. Let's look at some scriptures, Isaiah 65:2. Mr. Zeus, could you read that for us?
I have prayed at my hand all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts.
He's talking obviously about Israel here, and he says, I've spread out my hands, I've reached out to them all day long, but they're a rebellious people. And what? They go after their own thoughts. They won't listen. I keep reaching out. And this is in a lot of the prophets, isn't it? Where God is continually reaching out and begging them to come back to him. Come unto me. Return unto me. And they wouldn't do it. Rebellion. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15:23. Brad, could you read that for us? No, 1 Samuel 15:23. What book was that? Did I? See, that's what happens when you get over 60.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee.
Stubbornness. If you've ever raised kids, you don't have to wonder what that word is, do you? Stubbornness. But God says for us, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And that's exactly what resisting is. It's stubbornness, isn't it? It's saying, I hear the Holy Spirit, but no. I don't want to make a change. I don't want to repent of that sin. No, that's stubbornness. That is resisting the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, he is grieved. Because he is God. Amen? And he is holy. He loves us. He's there as our seal until the day of redemption, but he will not tolerate stubbornness. And so when we are stubborn, when we resist the conviction of the Holy Ghost, who's speaking to us and trying to get us to make changes in our Christian walk, if we resist that, he is grieved. Now, he talks here about Israel. You always resist the Holy Ghost. But down here, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be quenched, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, quench not the Spirit. Isaiah 63:10 says of Israel, they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. So he can be vexed, he can be quenched, he can be grieved. What grieves him and vexes him? When we say no, when he's speaking to us. We need to always say yes to the Holy Spirit. Amen. When he convicts us, and he will continue to do so until Jesus comes or he brings us home through death, he will continue to speak to our hearts to try to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. But we have to be willing to respond scripturally and not unscripturally. So, every Christian needs to learn to regularly pray Psalm 139, amen, 23 and 24. But many Christians are afraid to because they're afraid of what God's going to say. Those scriptures say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Sometimes we're afraid to pray that, aren't we? Because we don't want God to answer and to show us the wicked ways in us, to show us our wrong thoughts. But we need to learn. And we'll talk more about it in this coming service. We need to learn to pray that regularly. Lord, search me and try me. Like we sing in that hymn all the time. So, two wrong choices, delay, resist. Let's talk about the right choices. Amen? Repent. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, when John the Baptist started his ministry, in both cases, the very first word that they preached was the word repent. Now, he was speaking to Israel. They needed to repent so that he could offer them the kingdom. But repentance doesn't stop once we get saved, does it? Now, we repent to get saved, but the conviction is going to keep happening. And when it does, we need to repent. We need to get right with God. So let's look at some scriptures. Mark 14, verse 72. This is Peter after his sin. Isaiah, could you read that for us? That's conviction, isn't it? Jesus warned him in advance. Some of you will deny me. Of course, Peter's the only one that spoke up and said, oh, Lord, though all others deny thee, I will never. And that's when God said, Peter, you will. And he did. He even swore when he denied Jesus. This is one of his inner three, Peter, James, and John. But praise God, he wept. And he eventually got right with God and became a great apostle in the first half of the book of Acts. It's all about the ministry of Peter because he was restored to God. And then the Bible teaches us, if you go to Romans 2:4, Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us, that God is after repentance.
For despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Is God good? Amen? All the time, right? Even in trials, he's always good. God says the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. Now, this isn't only talking to the unsaved. It's primarily talking to the saved. Because we get to experience the goodness of God all the time, don't we? The goodness of God When we reflect on how good God is, and we have sinned, and the Holy Spirit is convicting us of that sin, it should lead us to say, you know, God is good, and I'm sinning against Him in this particular area that the Holy Spirit's pointing out. I need to get it right. I need to repent, because God is so good to me. And we don't want the alternative, but often we ask for it through our behavior, and that is chastisement. Much better to repent while we're enjoying His goodness than to not repent, and then He has to bring in the chastisement and keep pushing us to repent. Much better to do it up front. And of course, David, when he repented in Psalm 51, this psalm was written after his sin with Bathsheba, adultery, and then he had her husband killed, so murder. And then he wrote probably one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, Psalm 51, an entire psalm about David repenting, David getting right with God. And he says in verse 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." David came to that. Now, he didn't get there automatically, did he? We already used him as an example of trying to hide, trying to keep it contained. And he's sure enough, that's why he had Uriah killed. It took Nathan the prophet to come to him and say, and he told him the parable about the little lamb, and then finally said, "Thou art the man." It took that for David to realize, I've sinned against God, and I need to get right with God. But by then, he had already tried to hide it, and so this chastisement still had to come, and he lost a child. But he did repent and get right with God, which is always the answer. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of whatever it might be, and it's different for every one of us because we're all different and we all come from different backgrounds, but the Holy Spirit lives in us and He will reprove us of sin. And when He does, this is always the answer: repentance. Lord, I'm wrong. Amen? Some of the hardest words to say. I'm wrong. I was wrong. Then this beautiful verse here in Isaiah 6 where Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven. Howard, if you could read his response.
"Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts."
He was so overwhelmed by what he saw. He immediately said, "How can this be? Because I am a sinner." And that should always be where we stand. Amen? "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We all have the capacity to sin and fail God. And we always need to maintain that attitude. If we ever get this attitude that, no, I'm a super Christian, I've arrived, I'm amazing, that's right where the devil wants us. Because that's just pride. No, we are sinners. Saved by grace, and God's going to keep dealing with the sin in our lives, and He wants us, when He does, number one, to repent. Any questions about repent? All right, so the second biblical choice is that we respond or we acknowledge that God is right, and we do something about it. Amen? We respond. It's one thing to say, "God, you're right." It's another thing to actually then implement what needs to be implemented to make the changes in your life. And Psalm 119:9, most of you know the verse by heart, but what does it say? "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Well, we all want our way to be clean, amen, our walk with God, "by taking heed thereto according to thy word." In other words, when the word speaks to us with the Holy Spirit, we take heed. And the more we take heed, the more our way will be cleansed. And then Jesus, of course, told us this parable. Brent, if you could read Mark 4:20 for us about the seed.
Mark 4:20. 4:20, excuse me.
Yep.
And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Now we'll talk more about this in the morning service, but God wants us to be a fruitful Christian. Amen? And that's not going to happen unless we allow the Word of God to do its amazing work in our hearts. If we will repent, if we will respond and acknowledge that God is right and we are wrong and we need to make changes, the result is always what God is after, which is growth. We grow in our Christian walk. We grow in our faith. This is what God wants. Let's look at Hebrews 9:14. Philip, if you could read that for us, talking about our conscience. God gave man something that he didn't give to any other of his creation, this thing called a conscience. Amen? It's an innate knowledge of right and wrong. We're told about it in Romans chapter 1. The Holy Spirit uses that in our lives. And God is going to continually strive to purge it when it's convicted. But we have to let him. And let's look at another scripture, James 1:25. Roy, read that for us.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Amen. This scripture is likening God's word to a mirror. And he says when we look into the Bible, what does it do? But it reflects back us, the true us. Not the us that we think we are, but it reflects back who we are in the sight of God. And it says, when we look into this mirror, when we look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. So if we will respond to what God is saying to us through the conviction, we will grow. And we will be blessed in our deed. So we always have choices, don't we? We can delay, we can resist, or we can repent and we can respond and then continue growing in our faith. If we delay and resist, the Holy Spirit is grieved, he's quenched, and God then eventually has to bring in the chastisement, which we're going to talk about in the morning service in Hebrews 12. So, any thoughts or questions about what to do when we are convicted? I think that was all. Yep. So again, don't be afraid of Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Be bold and go to them regularly. I'm not saying you need to pray the exact words, but you do need to come to God on a regular basis and say, "Search me." Amen. Show me, Lord, where I can be better for you. Show me the sins that I need to deal with. Show me the areas in my life. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See, Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. Do you think God will answer that prayer? Of course he will. He will do it through the Holy Spirit. He will do it through his word. Amen. But we have to pray it. And then we have to trust God for the results and the consequences. So thoughts or questions about what to do when we are convicted? Anybody? All right, so next week, what to do when we suffer? We all suffer because suffering is part of the Christian life. How are we supposed to respond when suffering comes into our lives? Next week, we'll look at that. The non-biblical and the biblical choices, what to do when we